Amen. If you have your Bibles for a few moments, Exodus chapter 14. Somebody's been in a fix before. And how many times have you tried to work your own way out of that fix? We've all been in those positions. And I think the Christian experience is just like growing up as a kid. You find out what you cannot do and what you should do. And it's just a process. Life is this journey. And as we go down the corridor of life, we need to learn. And take notes, mental notes. And sometimes we don't. The human nature is so fickle, it's amazing. One time we can be on the mountaintop, 30 minutes later we're in the valley about ready to die, God's forsaken us. And we've all been in that position. So what do you do? And this is a very familiar scripture of Exodus 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon. Before it shall you encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, and the wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this? You know, once you're served for so long and all those people's left and you got to cut your own grass, it's not good. Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot, took his people with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots against a bunch of slaves. 600 chariots. And all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen. And he took an army and overtook them, encamping by the sea beside Pihahiroth, before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were so afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses. Now here's the fickleness of human nature. They just saw a miracle walking out of Egypt. They just saw the miracle of the plagues, and the last one being, we know, the death angel, and how it passed the house that had the blood upon the doorpost. They had just saw them walk out of this great city, this great country, who ruled mightily in that day. And Brian, they walked out without firing a shot. There was no fight. And they said unto Moses, here we go, because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. Where was the promise in their mind about Abraham? Abraham's promise. I know when you're in slavery for, 400 plus years, it gets grinding and it gets old. But, man, I'm telling you what, you can never, ever, ever let go of the promises of God. Where was that promise at? For it had been better for us, listen, to serve the Egyptians that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. The Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thy hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow after them. If the king of Egypt was such a great strategist, why would you pursue people that their God just opened the Red Sea? Makes no sense to me. And I'm telling you what, the devil's not all that smart. We give him way too much credit. All right? If I was Pharaoh and I saw the Red Sea, man, if I'd have saw the pillar of fire that was between them and us, I'd have said, boys, let's go back home. But no. And they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots, upon his horsemen, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh and upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. You know, it's always good to review this story because it's so revealing, as I said, of human nature. Now, Pharaoh was a fickle man, and he had all this power. He was bent on power. And through the plagues, they finally got to him, especially the death angel claiming the firstborn of the land, animal and beast. Still, he had not learned his lesson, and there are a lot of Christian people that you've seen over your lifetime and that I've seen that seem to never, ever, ever, ever learn things. They struggle. Now, we've all been to the place where we struggle in our Christian life, but I have seen Christians struggle their whole Christian life. Now, I've been to a place where, Brian, where I've struggled a little bit. Okay? I've had some down times. I've had some bad times, but it ain't the whole time. And I've seen these Christian people struggle, and I have never understood why people backslide on God. Okay? I'm just to the point that I have not grasped that understanding yet. Why would you walk away? And finally, Pharaoh had enough of God's intervention in his life. God was really messing in his life. To the point that in the middle of the night, he summons Moses and Aaron into his chambers. And he said, take the people and leave the land and go serve the Lord. But still, in the back of his mind, he couldn't let them go. For some reason, the devil sometimes just refuses to let things go. And that's the point when you've got to make up your mind, what are you going to do? He just couldn't come to the conclusion that God was God. He just couldn't come to the conclusion that this God that Moses served was the true God. And God knew that there was going to have to be a showdown with Pharaoh. Because in Exodus 14:3, as we read, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. He had directed Moses, amen, to look to a place that looked like a dead end. The sea was before them. And there was no way around them, and they were to camp there, amen, knowing that Pharaoh would think they are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in. And again, we have that word that will be confusing. Amen. When he said, I will harden the heart of Pharaoh. Amen. He hardened Pharaoh's heart to the point, amen, that Pharaoh went after him. I'm telling you what, sometimes God wants a showdown with the devil. Amen. And the reason is to show you, amen, who he is. I don't know about you, but I want God to shine in my life and be awesome in my life. And sometimes, amen, there has to be a showdown with the devil. In 14:4, he said, I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he will follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, and that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so, so that he would pursue them. Amen. And I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army. Amen. The Egyptians, amen, may know that I am the Lord. And not only the Egyptians, amen, but I'm telling you what, word will spread. Amen. When they got to Canaan, amen, and they saw the walled city, amen, you know what they said? We have heard of what God has done for you. I don't know about you, but I want people to know, amen, the God I serve. Amen. I want people to know, amen, that the fix I might have been in, amen, God got me out of. And I want people to know how great my God is. I want word to spread. I will gain honor over them, that they may know that I'm the Lord. God wanted a showdown. Amen. So Pharaoh would know that God is God and show his awesome power. Amen. The devil sometimes just ain't smart enough, and that showdown comes and he just doesn't get it. Amen. When Israel, amen, had gone from the land, Pharaoh and his servants, what they do, they sit around and they said, wait, we made a mistake. We have let them go. Why have we done this? Amen. Why have we let Israel go from serving us? Amen. It's hard to give up a place of privilege and position. And it was impossible for Pharaoh and the Egyptians, amen, to give up all these servants and these slaves, amen, to fulfill their every need, amen. So the army of Pharaoh made itself ready, and with all its leading officers and with its mighty chariots, amen, went out in hot pursuit of the Israelites. I'm telling you what, church, when it seems the devil is in hot pursuit of you, amen, what do you do? When he seems like he's nipping at your heels, what do you do? Well, I've told you many times, amen, what do you do? You turn around and you stand your ground. Amen. You turn around and you face him. You turn around and you look at him. Amen. You don't run. Amen. When you go read the armor, amen, that the Roman soldier put on. Amen. Brian, there was no armor to protect the backside. Why? Because the Roman soldier was taught, amen, to face his enemy. Amen. Not to turn and run. Amen. So when we stand our ground and fight, amen, don't tuck tail and run, amen, just stand there, amen, don't scream like a little girl, don't scream like a little baby, amen. Here we come to a recurring practice on the part of Israel, the loss of faith, the murmuring against Moses, amen, the murmuring against God, amen. When the Israelites saw the dust of the Pharaoh's army, amen, in the horizon, amen, coming, amen, normally they were terrified. Amen, they turned on Moses, accused him of bringing them to the wilderness to die. They reminded him that they had told him, amen, leave us alone. Amen, we're happy to serve them. We don't want to leave. How blinded were their eyes? How dull were their minds? Amen, for them, slavery was in Egypt, was preferable to death in the wilderness. Amen. But I'm telling you what, amen, God did not call them to be slaves. He called them to be free people, amen, living in a land that was flowing with milk and honey. I don't care what the fix is. Stand on the promises of God. Amen. Stand.
in on what God has told you. Don't give up on what God has told you. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it seems like. I serve a God that never lies. I serve a God that will move and will deliver. All you gotta do is stand. Did you hear me? Stand on the promises of God today. They thought those were the only alternatives they could see. Sometimes you can't see any other way except defeat. Dottie Rambo, one of the great songwriters in the history of Christian songs. In one of her songs, she writes, titled it, "I've Got Too Much to Gain to Lose." She wrote in there, defeat is one word I don't use. Think about it. See, they forgot that God had set them free back there in Egypt. And Moses had to stand up there in Exodus 13:3 and said to them, remember this day in which he came out of the came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for the strength of the hand of the Lord brought you from this place. There should be no leavened bread eaten. When God sets you free, you're free. Not half free, not almost free, but free. I've seen people with addictions go through all this counseling, and there's nothing wrong with that. Okay, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that. And they come out of these counseling sessions, and they still struggle with the addiction. And then, Doug, they come in contact with Jesus, and they're set free. They try every other avenue. And when you're free, you're free. And we need to understand that. The writer of Corinthians, Paul, says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Only the Spirit of God can lift the veil and help us to see that God is the one that we need to run to. He alone can do that. He is the one and the only one. Throughout the 40 years that lay ahead, Moses and God would hear this murmuring complaint over and over and over again. They would often sink in despair, constantly bouncing between trust and doubt, two opposing positions. And these opposing positions are reflected in the attitude of the Israelites, people throughout their history. A rebellious people. A people that absolutely went to God one time and said, we want to be like everybody else. We want a king. They weren't so much rejecting Samuel in this part of their history as being the prophet that ruled over them or spoke to them the oracles of God. They were rejecting God. We want to be like everybody else. That is the problem with us today as a church world, or as a church that needs to be focused. We want to be like everybody else. Everybody's welcome. I agree with that. But when you begin to preach and make people uncomfortable, it's not the preaching that's wrong, it's the people that's wrong. When you get up here and preach a message and it makes you feel squirmy, they don't like that. So we want to tone it down, and we want everybody to come in and be welcome. Well, I want everybody to come in and be welcome, but man, I tell you what, the Spirit of God will cut you asunder. Bam. It's like a two-edged sword, the Bible says. Living right, it's great. Living wrong, watch out. So we got two opposing positions are reflected in the attitude of the Israelites. And so they were a rebellious people versus a faithful people committed to God. What does the Bible say in James 1:8? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The prophet one time, I think it was, which one of the prophets? Elijah, I believe it was. Why halt you between two positions? He was looking at him and says, if God be God, serve him. If Baal be Baal, serve him. But why are you bouncing between two positions? One Sunday, we're on fire for God. The next Sunday, watch out, Jack. We need to wear a t-shirt. You're way too close. Come in. You can tell by their body language. And I don't understand that. This was their big issue, their problem. Hosea said Israel was like a silly dove. She first flew off to Egypt seeking help, and then she flew to Assyria. She turned first to one and then to the other, but she did not turn to God. I'm telling you what, many times when a problem comes up, we go all around to solve the problem. Until it occurs to us, when we've created this big mess, why didn't I go to God? Why didn't I try God first instead of fifth? Why didn't I go to God first? When you started out today, did you turn the issues of the day over to God? Time and time again, some of them followed by faith, while others rebelled against God. Some trusted, others did not. They had not heard a New Testament lesson. They needed one, but they couldn't hear one. The best remedy for complaining spirit is, in everything, give thanks. They didn't thank God for delivering them out of Egypt. They complained because he took them to the Red Sea and they were going to die. They didn't thank God for getting them across the Red Sea. Hey, man, he gave them manna. What do? They complained about it. They hoarded it. Every time Moses turned around, there was a complaint here, a complaint there. They went and spied out the land instead of saying, we saw God deliver us out of Egypt. We saw God split the Red Sea. We saw God feed us in the wilderness. Amen, this walled city's nothing for God. What did they do? They said, we are like grasshoppers in their sight. Over and over and over and over again. The remedy for this, Paul writes in the church at Thessalonica, in everything give thanks. Everything. For this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. Thanksgiving, we must deny ourselves. Mark 8:34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples, he said, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We got to follow Christ. Cast off every sin, everything of this world, and run this race. Hebrews 12, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with a great cloud of witness, amen, let us weigh aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run this race with patience, the race that is set before us. Looking where? Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus Christ is our goal, our purpose for living. Things aren't going to go right, not always. I know that. I'm not so naive not to know that. There's going to be hard things, rough things. But I'm telling you what, it's all about where you're at with God when the rough things come. If you're not where you need to be, those rough things will knock you off course. They'll slow you down. You'll feel sorry for yourself. You know, the Bible tells me in Ecclesiastes that there is a time to dance, there is a time to cry, there is a time to mourn, and all the time to laugh. All right, if you're crying, then cry and get over it and start laughing. If you're weeping, go, okay, weep and get over it and start getting on with life. Jesus is our goal. Make up your mind to serve the Lord no matter what comes. Rather than rebuking the people for their murmuring and lack of faith, Moses sounded a note that has given direction to his people ever since. In 14:13, Moses said unto them, and I don't know, Moses had to have great patience. They almost impeached him when he showed up and Pharaoh said, go ahead and make bricks, but I'm not going to give you any straw. They just about hung him right there and there, right there. He even went to God and said, God, what have you done? What have I done? What have I done? But I'm telling you what, that's just the devil fighting. You got to stay the course. You want to see victory? You'll never see victory thrown in the white towel. You got to stay the course. You got to stay the course. You got to stay the course. And when you stay the course, the devil's going to fight. You better believe he's going to fight. He's going to try to bring whatever oppression he can to you. Moses looked at him there, and he told him to fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you this day. For the Egyptians you who have served and seen this day, ye shall see them again no more. Here is direction for any of us when we are in a fix. There's a saying that describes the sort of experience Israel was having. We've talked about being between a rock and a hard place. Certainly, that metaphor is descriptive of many of our life's dilemmas. The same thing is expressed in this phrase, between the devil and the deep blue sea. The Israelites were really in a fix. Pharaoh, the devil coming at them. Amen. The army in hot pursuit. Amen. The sea was raging before them. They were between a rock and a hard place and a fix. What were they to do? Amen. Instead of turning around and complaining to Moses, amen, Brian, they should have been looking into the heavens and saying, if we die right here, we die as free men. But no, they reverted to human nature. Why have you brought us here to die? What were they to do? God taught them through Moses, and he teaches us that we can identify with the Hebrews. We can because we've all experienced it. We've all been in a fix. We've all been between a rock and a hard place. If we haven't experienced it, amen, we will. Maybe not to the degree of the Hebrews caught between the Egyptians and the Red Sea, but we all know what it's like to be in a fix. We don't know what to do. We can come out. I'm telling you what, we can come out. We got to stay the course. Amen, we're going to have those battles that seem to zap everything we've got, every ounce of strength we've got. Amen. But I'm telling you what, we do not have to let the battle put us in a hole, because defeat, listen to me, church, defeat is one word I don't use. Amen. There's been too many miles that I've traveled. Amen. There's been too many things that I've been through. I've seen God move for me too many times. Amen. So defeat is one word I'm not going to use. Moses said unto the people, as I said, fear not, stand still. The words that God spoke through Moses was not to be just stand still, you're going to die right here, but it was, you're going to see God move. Fear can cripple you. It can cripple you to the point that you won't be able to do anything. Fear can grip you so tight and the devil will keep whispering in your ear, you're going to die, you're going to die, you're going to die. God's forgot about you. Look what happened. God could have done it this way, but he didn't. He didn't. He didn't move for you. He didn't do this for you. He didn't do that for you. And we start entertaining that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We got to put fear out of a mind. There's a story I've told a long time ago of a jetliner taxiing down the runway with all the passengers on board, buckled up for takeoff. A voice came over the speaker of the plane and said, "Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. Welcome aboard Flight 22 for O'Hara Airport. We will be climbing to a cruising altitude of 30,000 feet. We will travel at an airspeed of 600 miles per hour. Our flight plan will take us across most of North America. Our flying time will be about 9 hours, coast to coast. As soon as we are airborne, the flight attendants will be serving you breakfast. And the pilot says, when I get up the nerve, we'll take off." Now, what do you think would happen? Sandy, if that pilot would have told you last week those words, you would have been saying, "Get me off this plane." Fear cripples us. There would have been panic across that airliner like crazy. People climbing over each other trying to get out. Now, everybody on that plane scared out of their minds because of what the pilot said. What would have happened if Moses would have said to the children of Israel when they come and start screaming, "We're going to die, we're going to die." And Moses turned around and said, "You're absolutely right. Every one of us is going to die right here today." What do you think they would have done? And I always said it all the time. Somebody's got to be the voice of reason. Somebody's got to stand up and say, hey, don't you know how God is? Don't you know what God can do? Don't you know how powerful God is? And so they're standing there. What would have happened if their leader would have said, "Hey, we're done for. Hey, man, you might as well start digging your graves because you're dying right here, because he's not going to take you back. He's going to kill you all right here." They would have gave up hope. They would have had nothing. Their leader refused to let fear grip their minds. Hey, man, he knew what it was like to be scared. Hey, man, can you imagine? Hey, Moses knew what it was like. He had to go before Pharaoh. Hey, man, him and Aaron walked in there with just a couple of staffs and said, "Let my people go." I'm sure. Hey, man, and when Moses stood before the burning bush, hey, man, awe and fear gripped his heart. Hey, man, as he was standing there, hey, man, he knew what they was feeling. Can you imagine these words? Hey, man, when he come out of his mouth, hey, man, "Stand still." Hey, man, "Be not afraid." Amen. Can you feel with them? They were on the brink of a raging Red Sea. If Pharaoh's army was drawing near, the chariots was, amen, coming down upon them. Amen. Pressing upon them. They were all new to this kind of thing. They had been slaves all their life. They had never been in a fix like this. They had never been in a situation like this. Amen. The Bible said there in 14:10, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lift up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were so afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord." Of course they were afraid. It was hard, almost impossible, for them to hear God's word through Moses. "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." But that didn't stop Moses from standing up in front of them and telling them to stand still. Stand still. Amen. Fear not. You're going to see a move of God like you've never seen before. And I'm going to tell you today, stand still. Stand still. We're going to see a move of God like we've never seen before. All we got to do, well, glory to God, is stand still. Stand still. Well, glory to God. Woo. He still spoke it. As difficult as it may be for us to hear, when you're in that fix, keep your eyes open, because I'm going to show you my glory. Fear plays such havoc with our lives. It leads us to find fault with others. It leads us to falsely condemn. It leads us to fall back into the background. We don't pray. We don't seek God. We just sort of blend in. We weren't called to blend in. Sister Loretta, we were called to stand out. We were called to be lights on a hill. That's what we were called to be. See, they said unto Moses in 14, we've read this, there were no graves in Egypt. Here they go. Thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt with us this way? Didn't we tell you, I'm paraphrasing this quickly, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? You know, there was one, maybe I'll preach it again. There was a couple of tribes, Doug, when they got up, right up to Canaan, said, we're done. I think it was Manasseh, and I can't remember the other one. They said, we're going to park it right here. We're done. But that's not what God called them to do. They were saying where we're at's good enough. What I'm saying, where we're at's not good enough. Okay? It's not good enough. We need more and more and more of him. You read the story, Moses had to guilt them into going over and fighting for them, but their heart was not in it because when they went into battle with Moses, with the men, they left all their livestock and all their women and everything else on the other side of Canaan. They weren't 100% in it. Moses had to guilt them into going. That's not what God called you to do. God's not called you to blend in. He's called you to stand out. A lot of us, and where we work and the people we meet, we need to stand out. Not arrogantly, but with humility, with love and compassion. Because there was no graves in Egypt. Why did you bring us out of Egypt? Oh my gosh, I can hear him now. It would have been better for us to serve him. That's not what God wanted. The devil wants to keep us bound and afraid. He doesn't want us to just step out in faith and trust God for everything. Not only does fear lead us to find fault and falsely condemn, it blinds us to a healthy perspective. In the midst of fear, we forget all that God has done for us. We forget the feel of victory. We forget what the presence feels like. That's what happened to these people. They had forgotten the plagues. I don't know how far from maybe a week's journey, let's say. I don't know. But it wasn't that long. So I'll give them a month from the Red Sea to from Egypt to the Red Sea. Let's give them a month. I haven't studied it. I don't know. But in that time frame, they'd already forgot all the things God's done for them. How crazy is that? They had forgotten how miraculously they were delivered out of the Egyptians and delivered from death. They had forgotten how God was guiding them now, and it's with us the same. Fear blanks our minds. It's like it erases everything. He's seeking to get us to step up. It also paralyzes our spirits. When we give into fear, we are incapacitated. We don't think right. We can't act. We're frozen in the dilemma. The price of victory is we must believe. Now, I'm not going to read all these, but Deuteronomy 28, and I'm not going to read them all for time's sake, but them first couple of verses is so powerful. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee high above all the nations and the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. Now, if thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord. Now, go to verse number 3. And then the next is blessed, blessed, blessed. I'm out reading them all. You go home and read them. Blessed be in the city. Blessed be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of the ground, the increase of thy kind, the flocks, the sheep. Blessed be the basket, thy store. Blessed be thou when thou comest in and goest. Blessed when the whole thou shalt be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten. The Lord shall command his blessing upon thee in the storehouse. Now, he said these blessings would come and overtake thee. You know what that kind of reminds me of? That kind of reminds me like if Brian would jump on my back. He overtook me. I'm not saying he got beside me. I'm not saying he passed me, because that's not overtaking. Overtaking me would be jumping on my back. So all these things, if you'll listen to God, amen, when you go home and read these, amen, all these shall be yours. And then when you get down past, I think, verse 14 talks about all the curses. Verse 15 on talks about all the curses. If you don't want to listen to God, choice is yours. And we sometimes refuse to. I tell people all the time, you give all that money to the church. I don't give that money to the church. I give it for one purpose and one reason, so that I'm blessed. The Bible calls you a thief if you don't. And I think it's in Malachi, a robber and a thief if you don't. But if you do that, the promises are there for you. I pay tithes so there's a roof over my head, so there's food on my table, so there's clothes on my back. I don't pay it for any other benefit. Now, I know it keeps the lights on and there's other things it does, but you don't pay your tithes for my benefit. You pay your tithes for your benefit. And if you, my Grandpa Jones said if you took your tithes and went and bought a pair of shoes, you was walking around in stolen shoes because they weren't yours. So if you want to be blessed, you got to hearken to the Lord. It shall come to pass, 28:1-2 says, if you want to do that. Philippians 2:15 says, that we may be blameless and harmless in the sons of God without rebuke. Huh? In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Be a light. When we go out at night, we see the stars up there. When God looks down on this dark world, he should see us who are lighting up this world. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So what do we do? We got to be disciplined rather than slaves to our, I tell you all the time, do not let your emotions hold you hostage. Man, sometimes we can go 100, 0 to 100, boom, just like that. The other thing that God told these people was he gave them direction. What God gave to the Israelites, amen, back in 14:13, he said, stand still and see the Lord. I stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, for the Egyptians whom you have seen, you will see them no more forever. Stand firm. Both meanings are what Moses is trying to say. When we are in a fix, we need to do both. We need to stand firm, and we need to stand still. And we need to zip it. There comes a time when we simply need to stand still and wait for the salvation of the Lord. It's got to be. I've discovered that it's the only thing in being still is waiting for a while that I gain perspective. When I begin to stand still, I gain perspective. I need to stand still before taking action in whatever trying circumstances I find myself in. I need to stop and say, okay, God, what are we doing here? Which way are we going here? How are we going to do it here? I'm going to tell you what, right now God has done many things in my life that I didn't like. We've taken some I didn't like. We've went down some roads I didn't want to go down. When we're confronted with this fix, most of us amplify the problem. We make it bigger than actually God is. They was looking at the Red Sea and thinking, how are we going to get out of here? God just delivered you out of the hand of Pharaoh. Don't make it bigger. Amen. Don't anticipate anything. Amen. Don't allow this drama or this dilemma to overtake you. Amen. If we would stand and wait a while, we would gain a healthy perspective to deal with our situation. Amen. What does Isaiah 40 says? Hast thou not known? Come on, don't we know today? Hast thou not heard? Haven't we heard today that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? My God doesn't sleep. Oh, glory to God. He doesn't get tired. There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary, and they'll walk and not faint. I'm telling you what today, people. Amen. Stand and get a perspective. Amen. And look to the cross and see what God will do. His power never weakens or grows weary. His understanding is perfect. With that declaration of his omnipotent and omniscient, God offers, amen, he was talking here about the exiles, to get them back to Jerusalem, to find a resolution of their fears about the return of their homeland. He will exchange his power for your weakness, in his strength for the weariness. When he does, all of a sudden their energy will increase. All of a sudden we'll rise up like the youth if you're willing to trust God. But they that wait upon the Lord. You got to wait sometimes. And I'm not talking about waiting, setting up camp. I'm talking about waiting and still moving. I'm talking about waiting and still believing. God never tells us to stop. Stand firm, but that doesn't mean to stop. He never tells you to back up, does he? Show me in Scripture where he tells you to back up. So I believe we wait with one step. The righteous man's steps are ordered by God. Step one, step two. He'll renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. You know what that, I've studied on the eagles a little bit. They have no predators. Man's the only predator, and actually in this country it's illegal to shoot an eagle. I watched a show on them. Their wingspan can be up to almost 5 feet from tip to tip. That's pretty big. I watched this eagle on this show come down and grab this fish. He saw this fish, Brian, from I don't know how far up in the air. He came down, and they said the G-forces on that bird as he came down, grabbed it with his talons and started flapping back up, was more G-forces than a fighter pilot feels. And he comes down, grabs it, and soars back. He soars above the problem. He soars above the dark clouds. He soars. He builds his nest way up high where nobody can get to it. He is a bird of majesty. He's not like a crow. He is a majesty bird. To the point that that is our nation's emblem today. We'll walk and not faint. When you get tired, he'll give you strength by his omnipotent power, his omniscient understanding. David wrote in Psalms 46, and I got to close here in a couple of minutes. If I'm not, they'll eat me alive at the dinner table. Psalms 46:10, David said, oh God, help me do this. Be still and know that I'm God. And I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. He speaks a direct prophetic word to his people. And let's be that type of people today. God will be raised high. He is the creator of all things. He is the most powerful one of all. And Philippians 2 says it all in 2 and 11, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. That's going to happen. Hold your feet. Hold your peace. Let God fight your battles. Don't complain. Don't get anxious. Don't get anxious about things. Take a breath and say out of your mouth, God, you got this. You got this, because I cannot do it. You got this, God. And when you're in that fix, you can come out. Solomon 3:6 says this, who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all power of the merchant? That's how we can come out. This verse can be looked at in a few ways, but I look at it this way. Who's coming out? Who's coming out? Who's coming out like pillars of smoke? Who's coming out in the presence of God like myrrh, frankincense? Who's coming out spiritually richer than they went in? You know, myrrh and frankincense are gifts for a king. Coming out blessed of God today. And I thought about how God takes care of his people. They were slaves. And have you ever wondered how they got the gold to make the golden calf? They were slaves. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 12, and the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. The enemy was handing them gold, silver, and raiment. Doug, when they left Egypt, they left as rich people, not as poor slaves. They came out like smoke. They came out like perfume. They came out like myrrh and frankincense. That's how they came out. And if you're in a fix today, I'm telling you, you can come out like smoke, perfume, myrrh and frankincense. You can come out in glory. You can come out in power. You can come out under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Doesn't matter what happened 30 seconds before. It doesn't matter what you've been going through. You can come out. It's up to you today. We don't need to complain. We don't need to stand there and murmur. We don't need to be upset. We don't need to kick the bucket or kick the can or anything else. We just need to lift our hands and say, God, you know what you're doing. I'm coming out. I'm coming out. Let's find us a place to pray today, church. God bless you.